Their neighbors and friends were all very supportive. But when all was said and done, Chloe couldn't be found. The police investigated for more than a year after the disappearance. They questioned neighbors and friends, even Tim and Carol themselves. Their direct neighbor was shortly even in custody, but when the neighbor's alibi turned out to be solid, a speed camera shot showed that she was too far away from the house at the time that Chloe disappeared, she too was released. More than a year after Chloe's disappearance, Carol started to get better. She started cooking and cleaning again, and she finally allowed Tim to give some of Chloe's old toys, some of which had belonged to Norman, to charity. A few times, she even went out on her own again. But as Tim confided to a few friends, every night Carol would still cry herself to sleep. But at least, Tim said, she stopped blaming him. She stopped accusing him every day of being responsible for Chloe's disappearance. For more than a year, he had heard the same message every day. It's your fault. If you wouldn't have let her in the garden... 6 months ago, Tim had to start his work again. That was hard for Carol, but it was the only way to save their strained finances and to restart their lives. You can't live in the past, Tim would say. They're gone, and we have to accept that. Carol would cry, but she would nod between her sobs. They planned to travel the world together, and maybe to try again to have a child. It took Carol several weeks, but she learned to deal with being alone at home. She would chat with the neighbors and go to meetings for parents of lost children. She even started to organize a fundraiser for a new playground in the neighborhood. One, she would insist, where the neighbors together could organize a watch so that no child ever had to play without oversight. Carol had also taken again to doing the chores in the house. She started cooking, cleaning, and shopping. She tidied all the rooms except for Tim's holy do-it-yourself room, where she only dared to clean the floor and to eliminate the thick layers of dust on the shelves. Finally, Carol started the thing that she had dreaded the most after Chloe had disappeared. She started gardening. She mowed the lawn, trimmed the bushes, and seemed to be getting better from it. Tim wasn't sure all of this was truly a good idea, whether Carol might have another breakdown. But Carol felt her improvement. It was a cathartic experience for her, and she even felt as if it was reconnecting her with Chloe. To be in the last place that Chloe had been, and in the garden that Norman had loved so much. Carol even went so far as to start planting new flowers and bushes. You know what is worse than losing your children? Finding their pieces. Roughly 6 weeks ago, just when things seemed to be going uphill, Carol was renewing the hedge at the end of their garden. She dug a hole to remove an old bush when her spade cracked through something hard. A small bone. Carol figured it was a dead animal and continued digging. Just a few minutes later, she found the hand. Not an old skeleton hand. No. A clearly fresh, half-rotten hand of what must have been a 6-year-old child. Carol, with tears streaming down her face, kept digging. She thought that something must have buried Chloe there, that maybe Chloe had fallen into a small hole, and that somehow they had just overlooked the hill that must have covered her body. Carol dug for nearly half an hour, frantically heaping soil away from where she thought her child was lying. She didn't find more than the hand. And that's when Carol knew. "That's," says her mother, "is why Carol called the police and her own parents, but not Tim." Within the next 2 hours, the police found 4 more pieces. A rib cage, an entire arm, a chin bone, and a foot, still in small boy shoes. That's when they realized that there wasn't one child buried in the garden. It was 2. You know what is worse than finding the pieces of your children? Living with their murderer for 4 years. Tim was arrested at work. The police excavated the whole garden, carefully sieving through the soil not to miss a single bone, like the small one that Carol had found first and just thrown away. Norman's finger. They found the bodies of 2 dead children, around 6 years of age. The girl, the coroner determined, was buried for around 2 years. The boy for around 4 years. Still, it seemed that it must have been somebody else. Tim denied his guilt, denied that he would ever do anything to his children. And Carol believed him. "It cannot have been him. He was the best father I've ever seen." Then, at the bottom of an old metal trunk in Tim's do-it-yourself room, wrapped into old towels, police found the heads. Only when she saw them, when Carol herself identified the 2 moldered heads as those of her own children, did Carol break down. As I said, I don't have much hope for Carol. She's now been here for 4 weeks. There is no hair left on her head. Every day she causes another dark blue or purple bruise to appear on her body, and her fingernails are long ago either ripped out or chewed down to the flesh. And because most of the time she refuses to eat or drink, none of the damage to her body can heal. The doctors and nurses try their best to help, but there is just nothing we can do to help. Sometimes, when your world falls apart, insanity just is the only option.